Peace be with you. Welcome to The Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. I often think, seriously, how I can communicate the importance of talking about serious issues like we talk about on The Dean Show. And I tend to want to communicate to the people this importance and in different ways of just thinking of us in life being on a long journey via a train, a plane. And at one point, this journey is going to end. And that's the journey of life. So while we're here, the intellectual people, the sincere people, they know now that there's got to be more to life. There's got to be a true purpose. And they believe that design indicates the designer, and he's best to tell us what this purpose is. So that's what we talk about on The Dean Show, really serious issues. And what we're going to be discussing today is between the two monotheistic religions, Islam, which is the fastest growing religion out there, and more people are coming to it each and every day because they see the evidence adds up, it's logical, it's rational, and then we have Christianity. And many people take this mighty messenger as a god next to God. So we're gonna be in this episode looking at the evidence that they use so we can come to know, is this something that adds up or doesn't? So we're gonna be taking the clear verses that prove that he was indeed a messenger. And this is the Islamic viewpoint, the one that really makes sense to a lot of people. That's why people come to Islam. And then the doubtful verses, the ambiguous verses that people want to use to prove that he is God Almighty or the literal Son of God. So if you're one of those that tuned in and you really are confused about this matter, we're going to look to unconfuse you in this episode of The Dean Show so you continue on with this very important journey. Here on The Dean Show, we'll be right back.
This is The Dean Show. This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
Back here on The Dean Show. Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother.
Waseem, I was just about to call you Imran because I was thinking of my dear brother who you know and I know. How's he doing?
Pretty good. He's my teacher, so definitely.
Think he'll be watching. We can send him salams.
Sure. Assalamu alaikum, Imran, brother Imran.
Now, I opened up the show, and a lot of times we know the serious nature of this topic, and I had made an example of life, thinking about it as if you're on a journey.
Yep.
You're on this train. And the train ride sooner or later is going to end. You're going to have to get off the train. This life will end. And some people are just into all of the different entertainment, mental laziness, whatever it is. All religions are the same. I'm just going to fight. Then you end up making up your own religion. Atheists, you know, they try to deny God, but internally they really deep down believe in God. But then they also end up making up their own superstitions and religions. And why do you say, what do you say to people to even get them to this step? To thinking and reflecting sure. over the importance so they can get to, you know, examining the different religions that are making the claim that they're the truth.
Mashallah, you have asked a very important subject that, you know, how do we bring people first even to start thinking about religion or right religion or wrong religion or no religion. The first and foremost most important thing is, see, we are not here in this world by our choice. No one asked us before bringing us here. So someone else has actually placed us here. So that someone else is the one who is running the show for us. And we need to know what he wants from us. If not, then it's almost like, you know, we have a mobile phone. If it doesn't work, what do? We dump it. We destroy it. Similarly, we may be destroyed as well if we do not fulfill the purpose of our creation. So first and foremost, it's a very important thing every person to be asked is the purpose of life. Why are we here and by whom are we here? Whoever has placed us here has the right to dictate our life and regulate it. And the one who created us, the manufacturer, the producer, would tell us the best way to live and lead this life.
Now, I'm sure the people who are tuning in now, they hopefully they've gotten to that point.
Yeah.
They've gone through many of the superficial things, had the material things. It's not bringing joy and happiness in one's life. So now they're like maybe on that quest. There's some confusion now.
Yeah.
The monotheistic religions, you would say the top three would be, or the top two is
Islam and Christianity.
Christianity. Yes. So now they've looked at all the other religions, pantheism, it doesn't make sense, you know, Hinduism, all these other thousands of gods, whatnot. They came to Islam and Christianity.
Yep.
Okay? But now we go on and divide. Sure. You know, we believe that Jesus was a mighty messenger who was sent by God, calling the people to worship God, but he never claimed to be God. Mm-hmm. So people from their upbringing, many, they were taught. Sure. They just go with the flow. They slide in on church on Sundays and praise Jesus and God and Trinity, and it's all confusing. Yeah. We're here to set the record straight, to confuse
the
things.
Sure, yeah. Definitely.
So let's start off with some of the clear verses that that are clear from the Bible that substantiate also the Muslim claim that Jesus was not God, sent by God, but he was indeed a servant, a messenger of God.
Sure, we'll go through that. Jazakallah khair. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah Al-Imran, Surah number 3, ayah number 64, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم الله نعبد إلا الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to the people of the book, especially referring to the Jews and the Christians, come to common terms as between us and you. And the first common term that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about is Allah na'abuda illallah, that we worship none but the true God. So this is what is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and which is further reiterated in the concept of God, in a nutshell in the Quran, which is Suratul Ikhlas. As they say, the touchstone of theology in the Quran, which is Surah number 112, ayah number 1. Which says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say he is Allah, the one and only. Now when we go back to the Bible and see the statements in the Bible made by Jesus himself or the previous prophets or the general context in the Bible. So let us see some of the verses. There's a verse in the Bible in the Old Testament said by Moses, peace be upon him, in book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4, where he says, شَمَا إِسْرَيْلُ أَدُنَاي إِلَهَيْنُ أَدُنَاي إِخَدٌ. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. Now, amazingly, the same is repeated by Jesus, peace be upon him, in the New Testament, where he says in Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 29, Shema Israelu Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, these two verses are setting the tone straight. The concept is there is only one God. And if you go in the Old Testament, all the previous prophets, including Moses, peace be upon him, had never ever spoken of a dual or a triune God. Doesn't that mean that it was never part of the plan to have a double, a dual, or a triune God by the Almighty, or the concept of Trinity ever? Did Moses ever understand Trinity? No, it was never there. Rather, God said in the Old Testament, in book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7 to 9, book of Exodus chapter number 20, verses 3 to 5, he said that I am a jealous God and there will never be a second God. Book of Isaiah chapter number 43, verse number 11, book of Isaiah chapter number 45, verse number 5, book of Isaiah chapter number 46, verse number 9, he says that I am the only God. I am the only Savior. There is no one else besides me. So God is making it absolute clearly, there is only one God. So let us see now what Jesus, peace be upon him, has to say to his people. He says further to his people after saying that there is only one God. He says in Gospel of Matthew chapter number 19, verses 16 and 17, to the person who comes to him and says, good master. He says, he replies to him and he says, there is none good except one, that is God. He's not even taking the small title like good for himself. He's differentiating himself from God. He goes further and he says, if you want to enter paradise, if you want to enter into life, into eternal life, keep the commandments. He's not saying you have to believe in me as God. Never did he say. One more verse, Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 30. He makes it absolutely crystal clear that he's never any part of divineness. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my will, but the will of the Father who has sent me.
So we covered three now. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Our God, your God. This is
his one.
So he's separating himself
from the divineness
from
of God.
From divine, yeah. Yes. So that makes sense. So
and then the second, Matthew 19, 16, 17.
Matthew 19.
Chapter 19, verses 16 and 17.
This is in every version of the Bible.
Every version of the Bible. It hasn't changed yet.
Yeah.
And then the third one is the one where he says, I can do nothing by myself. So when someone says, I can do nothing by myself, at least he isn't God. Mm-hmm. At least he is in God, because he's saying, I can do nothing by myself. God is someone, by any definition of the word, someone who can do everything by himself. Mm-hmm. And if Jesus says, I can do nothing by myself, that really clearly clarifies that he's claiming I'm not God.
That's deep. I can't do nothing except what God Almighty gives me the permission to do. He's saying it is clear. It's there in what we have of the Bible left. We're going to go ahead and take a break and come back. We cover three. We'll get some clear. These are pretty clear, definitely. Straightforward.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back with more here in the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, and we're talking about one of the mightiest messengers. And again, I know this can be a very sensitive topic for some people, but notice, we're not ridiculing Jesus. We're not mocking him, drawing funny pictures of him like many people do. We think that's a great disrespect to this mighty messenger. And you can actually go to the hellfire if you deny that he was a messenger sent by the Creator, according to Islamic teachings. Is
yes,
that right?
Very
it's
right.
An article of faith to believe True. And to love him. So we love him dearly, but we only say of him what he said of himself, what God said of him, yes. That he was a servant, a messenger of God, and he never claimed to be God.
Yep.
That's right? So we're talking about the clear verses. You mentioned three.
Yep. And we'll tell go further for a few
tell
more.
Tell us some more.
Yes. No, Jazakallah khair, Brother Eddie. The other verse is Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 3, where Jesus says, remember, this is the verse which resembles with the Islamic creed as well. You know, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So Jesus says in Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 3, he says, and this is life eternal, that you might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So what Jesus is saying is, this is the purpose, he's saying, that you got to know the only true God and Jesus, thou whom have sent. Which means, La ilaha illallah, as Muhammad Rasulullah, he's saying, Isa Rasulullah. He's saying, you have to know the true God, and you got to know me, the Prophet of God, who has been sent by God. So it's, again, differentiating himself from the divinity of God. He's not saying, the purpose of your life is to know me, the only true God. No, he's saying your purpose of life is to know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one whom have been sent by God. So this is another clear verse where Jesus actually separates himself from the divinity of God.
So if you're sending someone away, you're not the sender.
You're not the same person at all. That's not possible. And the same language is used in the Bible in the Old Testament for previous prophets. Moses, sent by God. David, sent by God. Jesus, similarly, sent by God.
I think people, if they don't want to just be stuck on cultural norms or their family's traditions, following their ancestors, their grandfathers blindly, this makes sense.
True.
And most people, when you ask them, do you believe if Jesus was God or sent by God? They'll instinctively, he was sent by God.
True.
But then when they look back, oh, that's not the teachings of my pastor or church, and they'll go back to what you know they were brought up blindly believing. Let's go ahead.
Go further. Oh, there's one more interesting verse. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 39, where it mentions that he walked further, that is Jesus, and he fell on his face and prayed to God. Now see, this falling on the face is the character of a servant, which was done by all the previous prophets. So Jesus takes the same position. He fell on his face and he prayed to God. Unless he is a servant of God, he wouldn't do that. Moreover, in the Bible, in the King James Version and other versions, RSV as well, Jesus is mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 26, as servant Jesus. So the word servant and son in the Greek is synonyms to each other. So every single place in the Bible you see son, go back to the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 26, the Greek word used there, which is translated as servant, is the same Greek word. So what happens is servant and son is just the same synonym in the Bible, which means Jesus is servant of God, and servant of God is never God.
Now, isn't it that also he's referred to as the Son of Man? What is it when you say Son of Man, like what, 83 times?
Yeah, exactly. You know, in the Bible, if you go through it, initially Jesus was referred 83 times as only Son of Man, and then he is referred as Son of God. So all of this really adds up a lot that, you know, if Jesus is Son of Man, ask anyone, is Jesus Son of Man? The whole world, including Muslims and Christians, both agree. He's not Son of Man. So you ask a Christian, why is he referred as Son of Man? They say it is a metaphor. It is a title of respect. Exactly. Son of Man is also a title in the Bible. It is not literal. It is simply metaphor. And if you go and look at the Bible in the further verses, the Gospel of Luke chapter 3, verse 38, God says Adam is the son of God. So if Adam is son of God, what makes Jesus different?
Son of God would be also a metaphor, someone close to God.
Yes.
A servant of God.
Servant of God, exactly.
Someone close
to
God.
Because that is the only sense that you can extract from it, because according to the Bible, there are many people who are called as son of God. David is referred as the firstborn. David is also referred as the begotten Son of God according to the book of Psalms.
Yeah.
So all of this gives a very clear picture that God is not referring to anyone as his own son, rather he's referring to them as metaphor, a title, Son of God, meaning the good servants of God.
Take it easy right now. Some people probably can, if you want to argue a debate some, you can do that all day and night. But sure. I think the first thing people should do is dig deep in their heart and start, you know, if things start making sense, and then over here you're resisting it because maybe you just, you know, stubbornly want to just hold on to what you've been taught for your whole life. I think you cannot go wrong with deep down inside asking the Creator, say, God Almighty, these guys are, you know, you tuned in right now. That's a sign.
Sure.
Ask God Almighty directly, guide me. If this is the truth here, guide me to it. But one key thing is only asking God alone.
True, exactly. And this is what exactly the teaching of all the previous prophets. Did Moses ever tell his congregation, his students, his disciples to worship to someone else other than God? No. He said, go to God, ask God. All the previous prophets did the same. How could it suddenly change at the time of Jesus? Rather, Jesus himself is falling on his face, praying to God. He's put on the cross. He cries out to God, Elo, Elo, lama sabachthani. All we are saying is, just call the same God whom Jesus called.
That's it, but no intermediaries. Direct dial-up. Is there any other clear...
Sure, there's one more verse that I just wanted to put forward. Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 22. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, in the midst of you, doing wonders and miracles and fulfilling the signs. Now this again is a clear text. Jesus is saying, Jesus, a man approved of God. It's not the other way around. God made man. No, it's a man approved of God. That's again the sign of a prophet of God.
Wow, so we covered how many was that?
So I think total 6 to 7 now.
6 to 7. So yes. We got, and these are pretty straightforward and clear.
Very clear.
A man, this is Acts what?
Acts 2:22, chapter
Acts 2,
verse 22.
He's saying Jesus, this is a man.
Yes.
A man.
A man approved
not
of God.
Not a God approved by God.
Yes. And not God became man.
No.
It is saying a man approved of God.
We have, you know, some people say, look, why did he have to come like showing off that he's God and it's like undercover God? But, yeah. You know, you make this example of if the president, can you go ahead and elaborate?
Yeah, sure. Well, we'll see exactly. You know, if I say I'm the president of, you know, Prime Minister of Australia, you would say, okay, are you or are you not? And if you see, I never claim to be Prime Minister, whereas Tony Abbott, the current Prime Minister of Australia, claims to be the Prime Minister. Obviously, he is the Prime Minister, not me, because I don't even claim so. So similarly with Jesus, Jesus is not even claiming I'm God, but God in the Bible is claiming I am God, Yahweh, or Eloh, or Elah. And he's never saying I'm God. So how could you throw the title on him when he has never claimed, but the other one is claiming and he himself is worshiping to him.
And this is our salvation.
Exactly.
I mean, he'd have to come up straightforward. That's what we always say. There is not any, there is no clear, exactly. Unambiguous statement. You'd have to, if he's God, he'd say, look, I am the one who
exactly.
Created you. I'm God. Believe in me, my resurrection, my blood. Otherwise, you're going to hell.
Exactly. If there are two people claiming to be prime ministers, one of them does not claim, and one claims, then obviously the one who's not claiming has to be given the benefit of doubt there that he's not. The Prime Minister, because he himself is not claiming. And there is not a single unequivocal statement in the entire Bible where Jesus said, I am God, or where he said, worship me. That is really a very powerful evidence to see for.
And we've seen when you initially opened up, you quoted some clear verses where God Almighty is identifying. I am
yes.
God, you're God, don't
yes.
take any other gods besides
yes. And he said, yeah. I'm jealous, God, even says in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 5, and book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 7 to 9, he says, I'm a jealous God. Meaning, if you have another one taken as God or you worship him, that's it. That's the end of your relationship with God.
Before we go to break, I think you also, you mentioned this one, where was it in Deuteronomy or Exodus, where God Almighty is saying, thou shalt have no other gods except the one
yes.
God. This is
yes.
like the Kalima also,
exactly.
Right?
Book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 35. Very straight, like there's no image of God. Never make any image of God. God is only one. There's no one besides him. It's so powerful and so close to the ties with Islam. That you actually realize here now that this is Islam is only the continuation of the true teachings of Christ.
And it says you should worship no one in the heavens, so no angels.
No
you think
angels.
People worship
yes.
no angels, nothing on the earth.
Nothing on the earth. And nothing
Jesus was
even in the water.
Even in the water.
And don't make any graven image of any likeness of anything heavens above, on the earth, or beneath the earth.
That's it. That's that's clear. I think we did justice to the clear verses from the Bible. Now we're going to come back with some of the ambiguous verses that people use that can be interpreted that way, this
yes.
way. We'll put them in their proper context.
Sure.
Here on The Dean Show, don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show. Now, what do we say? You gotta be earnestly inside your heart yourself, asking your maker, the one who made you, guide me. If these guys are onto something, guide me to what's the truth. That's it, clear, make it simple. And you can, again, come from a Christian background. We're not trying to disparage on anybody, not trying to intentionally upset or hurt anybody. We're just trying to make this truth very apparent, in which it is, and clear. We talked about the clear verses. Yep. Now let's get into some of the other verses that people will use to justify that he was gone.
Yep.
Let's start with one I'll throw at you. I think a very popular one is John 1:5-7.
Yep. 1 John 5:7.
Yes. Can you go ahead?
Sure. And see, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, ayah number 171, وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَ. Do not say Trinity. So God is actually clearly kind of commanding, keep away from this concept of Trinity, which is not the right one. So let us see now what the Bible says about this. And this is actually used as a proof by those Christians who claim to be following Jesus. And Jesus, and they believe that Jesus is God. So this is mentioned in the Bible, in the King James Version, in 1st Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7, that just you mentioned. It reads, in the heaven, there are three that bear witness, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are not three, but one. So now this is the verse that a Christian is generally taught in the church, and he picks up this one as the proof that God is three in one. Now, point number one, this verse of three in one was never found in the Old Testament. So Moses and all the previous prophets for thousands of years were not aware at all of the concept of Trinity, that there is a three in one God at ever. They never mentioned a triune God. Second point, this verse has now been in the new versions, the Revised Standard Version, the New Revised Standard Version, the American Standard Version, and the NIV, has been removed completely. And it has been mentioned in the preface that these verses that were removed were corruption, concoction, and addition in the Bible. The ones who removed it were 32 great scholars of highest eminence in the Christian world, backed by 52 denominations. So it was not a Muslim work, it was not an anti-Christian work, it was the work of the top Christian scholars. Now what happens here is, why did they remove the verse? They said because we could not find it in the original text, the original manuscript, the original scripture. So when it is removed, there is no verse which is actually talking about a three-in-one God. There is not a single verse now which says three-in-one. So if the verse is removed, which was the basis by the Christian scholars, then it gives a proof that there is no other evidence to even think right now that there is a three-in-one God. So when the verse is removed by the Christian scholars, I and you, as lame people, as lay people, have got no option other than to agree that this is not part of the Bible and this is not the belief of Christianity.
Now this is by, what is it, like 32?
32 eminent scholars
of Christianity, yes. Backed by 52
denominations.
So
this is... No one's objecting to it. Everyone's agreed this verse does not belong to the Bible.
It was thrown out. Okay, so let's go.
So they have only come closer to what Allah said in the Quran, in Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, ayah number 171. وَلَا تَقُولُ ثَلَاثَ. Do not say Trinity. So there is no more verses in the Bible of Trinity there at all.
Now, just before you go on, for the people who've heard the name Allah the first time, Jesus in Aramaic, he would call on God by Allah.
Yes. Okay, very right.
So we're talking
in
about
Aramaic language, yes.
And Jehovah would simply mean the ever-living God. So this is the same creator we're talking about.
Yes. So Jehovah is a J added. Is a J added. As in America, I heard the moment I worked in America, they said, don't do jaywalking here. You know, you get fined. So has a jaywalking in the Bible at times for some reason. Let's keep it away. The actual name is Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Now Yahweh, if you go to the Arabic name of Allah, is Yahayu.
Yahayu.
Yahayu Yahweh. So you know, you have the Arabic Yah.
Yeah.
That Yah in Hebrew is Va.
Yeah.
So Yahayu, Yahweh. It's the same word. And both of them means the ever living. So Arabic and Hebrew are sister languages. Nouns are very similar in their, you know, pronunciation.
Hallelujah.
Ya Allahu. Allahu. Exactly. So if you just rhyme it back, how could there be so many similarities? It can't be made up.
All the signs are
every
pointing
name,
to
exactly. Every
the
name
same
of
direction.
God is just matching with every name of God in Islam. It cannot be a coincidence.
It's the same God, the one God. Let's go to another
this other verse. Now, this is a very powerful verse. Every Christian, generally, you ask him, is Jesus God? They say yes, and you ask him the proof, John 1:1. John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. The verse reads, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So now here, let me read it again to just make it clear. Break it down into three parts. In the beginning was the Word. The second is, the Word was with God. And the third is, the Word was God. So what the Christian claims here is the Word in the Bible here refers to Jesus. And God is obviously the Father according to the Bible. So if you now change it, the Word with Jesus, we will see what it sounds like. This is what the Christian claims. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So he's saying, see, Jesus is God according to the Bible. Now, how do we respond to this? First and foremost, this statement, John 1:1, is not spoken by John. It's not even spoken by Jesus. John did not say this is what Jesus said. Rather, the historical facts prove that this verse was actually a statement made by the Philips of Alexandria, long before even Jesus came on earth. So it was a predominant verse amongst the Greeks, those who believe in polytheism. So they said this is a statement, it is not a statement of Jesus. Point number two, let's allow the difference, you know, say for the sake of argument, it was the statement of the Gospel of John, made by John. So he said, in the beginning was the Word. Now, Word in the Bible has two meanings. Word is Jesus, and Word also means the Word of God. Is the Bible, they call it, the Word of God. So it's not Jesus, but it's Word of God. It's a verbatim Word of God. Similarly, if you translate that as a Word of God, there's no problem. Now, this is that Word was Jesus. Okay, even if that was Jesus, God, that is coming twice in this verse. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The second God is a different God to the first God in that verse. The first G-O-D is Hotios in the Greek. The second G-O-D God is Tontios. Tontios means someone from God. Hotios means true God. And the same God, which is a small G-O-D, is used in the Bible by Jesus to other people as well. In Book of Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, where Jesus said, you all are gods. And that God has to be the small G-O-D. Similarly here, it is a small G-O-D. A small G-O-D would mean someone from God or a prophet of God. So now let's read it again. Turn the small G-O-D into prophet of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was prophet of God.
Makes sense. That's makes it. More sense.
Yes.
We covered two. We're almost out of time.
Yep.
Last one. We only got time for one more.
One more. Okay. So what the other one that we can cover is they used Gospel of John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So they say, see, Jesus is begotten son. Now this is, yes, it is there in King James Version, I agree. But in the Revised Standard Version and New International Version, the word, the title begotten is removed from Jesus. So if begotten is removed, Jesus is son of God, everyone is son of God according to the Bible. Rather, Book of Psalms chapter 2 verse 7, it says that David is begotten son of God. So if David is begotten and Jesus is begotten, then what's the big difference? Rather, Jesus being begotten has been removed from the Bible further. So it leaves everyone as a son of God according to the Bible. Anyone who does the work of God is son of God. Adam is son of God. David is son of God. Solomon is son of God. The previous prophets are sons of God. Bible even says sons and daughters of God in Book of Genesis. So it just shows that Bible has a language, son of God. I come to America, all the oldies, the old uncles call me Wasim, my son. Does not mean I'm his literal son. It only means a metaphor or respect. So God is saying son of God, which refers to servant of God in the Bible.
Thank you very much. Beautiful. We're out of time. We had a lot more that we can cover, but we got to go. We gave people a nice little taste test of clear verses, ambiguous, and it's really clear that Jesus was sent by God, calling the people to worship the Creator, and not the creation.
Exactly. That's perfect. Yes.
That's the
message.
Point. That's the message.
All as I think I'll just repeat that. Pray to that one God. Seek help from that one God.
That's
and he will guide you to the right path.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I think that was pretty clear. We had the clear verses that are straightforward. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. You don't need to be a Bible scholar. It's straightforward. Here, you see they're kind of ambiguous, but when they put into their context, again, it's straightforward. And we would agree that Jesus, indeed, he was the way, the truth, and the light. That's right. At his time, he was a messenger sent by God in the depths of darkness people were in. So he was guiding people to the light. What's the light? The knowledge of God, the guidance from God. This will set you on a path to get to God, to get to his paradise, to his pleasure. Moses at his time, he was the way, the truth, and the light. Muhammad is the last and final messenger sent to mankind, a prophet that Jesus talked about. He was coming, and he never also called people to worship him, nor did Jesus, nor did Moses, nor did Abraham. Abraham, he wasn't a Jew or a Christian, but he was one who submitted himself entirely to the will of God. And this is what Jesus called you to do also. And Muhammad being the last and final messenger, these were the best of creation. They were messengers of God, teaching us how to get the pleasure of God, how to get to paradise, how to avoid the hellfire. And it starts with you earnestly understanding that this life will end like that plane ride, that train ride. And at the end, don't wait until death comes to figure it out. Now is the time. And by asking the Creator to guide you, definitely He'll facilitate a way if you're sincere. Subscribe if you haven't already and continue to tune into The Dean Show. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.